I want to read this to you and see what you think. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Does the place you're called to labor seem small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. When the conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Whether you've been married long as the Townsleys and faithful to church, or whether you're the youngest person in here today, little as much when God is in it. Would you turn in your song books with me, page 397. That's the title of today's message, little as much if God is in it. We're going to sing verse 1, and then you all can put your song books back, but the boys have got to keep theirs, all right? I guarantee you don't have to sing. Could you give us this thing? Now, I can't sing worth a lick, so you're going to have to help me. In the harvest field, here we go. Sing it out with me. In the harvest, there's a work for all to do. Hark the voice, and God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. You did such a good job. Let's sing the last verse. Here we go. When the conflict here is ended, and the race on earth is done, he will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much, labor not. Pretty good choir, amen? Little as much if God is in it. I'd like you to open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you turn there, please, our thought today is little as much as God is in it. I want you to keep in mind here, we have prayer cards in the back on the display table. The DeLongs, we appreciate your prayers, support, kindness. You're one of the 10 pastors, your pastor got to see our ministry in Australia. You pray that I can get him to New Guinea in the next 5 years. All right, brother, every pastor I've took there said they wished they'd went there first because they would never be pastoring here. All right, what do you mean by that? Once they see what goes on there. Can you imagine a church like this, about 200 more people sitting outside under trees and listen to you preach for about 3 hours? Amen. And actually live it when they get done hearing to you. And so but I'll get you up there someday. But what I do is the Open Door Project also, is we're trying to get into 10 other countries in the next 10 years. We're trying to, on December 12th of this year, we commissioned 15 more missionaries with BIMI. We, Lord willing, we'll have 25 to 35 couples coming to prepare for the mission field in June and July and August to get out on the field. And my thing is I help get them there, from getting churches to support them, to make sure they're doctrinally straight, to make sure that more than the husband's called. The wife's got to be part of this, amen? It's a team thing. And so I just want you to pray for me as we get this organized. But stop by and get the literature. We're also reseeding America. We're trying to restart churches. I think a guy told me, Rock of Ages missionary, one of the directors last 2 weeks ago was preaching up in North Carolina, and he said there's 8 Baptist churches that close their door and sell the property every month in the United States of America. And one Islam church has started, one on what they call their buildings. One a month is started and paid for and ready to roll in this country. So what, one group's going in one direction, the devil group's coming in another, and you pray that we can get back where we need to be. And all God's people said, amen. I want you to see this morning in my message, and by I just want to tell you that. But in my message this morning, little as much of God is in it. I'm after two things today. Number one, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you're not here by accident. You may think it's a little thing, but God wants to save each and every person in here from an eternal hell. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen? The preacher told me, sitting here on the platform, that he got to go down into a coal mine. Oh, man, I'm telling you what. I tell you, I have trouble going into a cellar, you know, because I've always associated going underground as going to hell. I don't know about you, but that's, you know, and I almost got a job out of high school, I was telling him, and I went into the locker room where the train came in from a coal mine in West Virginia. Back in those days, I was going to get paid $12 an hour, join the United Miners Union, and live happily ever after. And I saw the train come in, about 50 guys on it, little tiny train, and they were black from top to bottom with the coal soot, you know, and they were just turning their lights off, and I saw how dirty they, and I looked down that tunnel they came out of about 3 miles back under a mountain, and you know what? I said, this is not for me, and I walked out that door, amen? Now, I'll tell you what, you know, some people can do that, that's great, but I'm afraid in the dark. I'm afraid to go underground. And you know what? I'm afraid. But a lot of us in here today, if we don't know Christ as our personal Savior, it scares me that you're playing with your eternity like that. And I pray that you'll come to know the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. The second group of people I'm speaking about today is this. You Christians. Am I high enough back there, Josh? My throat will warm up as I go on. You Christians in here that love the Lord. Amen? And you want to do something for Him. And this church is not typical. Can I brag on them a little bit? Is that okay? I went to a church last week, and I'm not going to tell you where it is, but it's in the Midwest. Seating capacity, 3,800 people. When I was there 10 years ago, they support me. We had 1,000 on the buses. I did a bus conference for them, and then about 1,600 in church. When I was there last Sunday, on a Sunday night, they had less than 500 in the Sunday evening service. The Sunday morning service, they had 625. They don't have a senior pastor. They got 4 assistants. They got a Christian school that went open enrollment. They have 1,300 kids, and less than half of them know Christ as their personal Savior. That thing's going down. Do you know why it's going down? It's forgot to do the little things. How shall they hear without a preacher? How so they have a vision? How so they have a direction? So I want to encourage you, you are not the typical church. And that's a good thing. Amen? But there's little girls in here. There's little boys in here. There's older people in here that just, well, I just can't do anything for God. I never went off to Bible college. And I just worked in the cornfield there in Indiana my whole life. I really can't do anything. You can do anything for God. If God calls you, God saves you, God calls you. Now you watch this. I can give you advice. God will give you guidance. Amen? And this morning I want to preach and teach a lesson for the next 2 hours. I'll be done in about 30 minutes. All right. I'm just teasing. You'll be okay. All right. And little as much if God is in it. And you know, Apostle Paul was trying to teach the Corinthian church some Bible doctrine and how God works and what things He wants to do. And we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's take a look at verse 27, and see what it says there to us. A little as much if God is in it. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him and ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And I read that, and boy, God uses the foolish things, and God's chosen to confound the wise, and God's chosen weak things to confound them, confuse the mighty. But I looked at verse 28, the base things. The base things. And I did a little study in the Greek, just a little one. What does that word base mean? It means little. The little things. So I went through Scripture, and I could come up with 1,000 little things, but I want to use 3 little things today: a shrub, a stone, and a snack that's in the Bible. And how God saved a nation by starting with that shrub that flamed on and on. How God used a little stone to defeat a giant to save an army. And how God used a little snack to bless a congregation of close to 20,000 people that got to hear Jesus preach a little bit. Are you ready to go with me on this journey today? Let's go to Exodus, first of all, number one. Exodus chapter 3. Little as much as God is in it, I want you to understand this is a missions church. I want you to understand this is an outreach church. I want you to understand there's many services going on across this property today because this church has a vision. Watch this now. This church has goals. This church has purpose. All right? Now watch this. This is a local, independent, Bible-believing, New Testament church. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Now, I'll insert the Baptist in there, and you can say, because we're Bible believers. Amen? I'm a Baptist because the Bible, when you look at that, I've got every one of those things in me, those distinctives. Amen? But I want to look at this morning as a church and as a group of people, and even if you're unsaved today, God will use, watch this, something in this church's life to get your attention. He's going to use something. What do you mean, Brother Dan? Well, let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Let's take a look at this. Look at verse 1. And the Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And I used the word shrub there in my outline to go with, you know, a stone and a snack, okay? The bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when God, the Lord, saw that he turned aside, God called unto him, underline the word called. He called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. I want you to notice, first of all, today, God used a small shrub. And in that shrub, I looked at it, and I'm doing a lot of driving now. Tomorrow morning, I got to drive 12 hours and be at a church in Virginia by 4:30 in the afternoon. Okay? Because I'm preaching tomorrow night there, and Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. So pray for me that I'll stay awake. And I can find a Dunkin' Donut all the way between here and there. Amen? I was in Hammond, Indiana the other day during a snowstorm, and I kept going right out of my motel room down the road, and I could find a McDonald's. And on my third day, I took a left and drove 1 mile, and there was a Dunkin' Donuts. Can you believe how dumb I was? You know, so I got to get this app on my phone that locates every Dunkin' Donut between here and Virginia. So, little as much of God is in it. Look at this shrub. I was thinking as I was driving, how can I work this in a sermon? Number one, I want you to notice that shrub in verse 2 never burned up. It had a consistent flame. Is your flame for God consistent? Or are you like a lot of people I know, whether Australian, New Guinean, Trinidadian, or an American? They're hot for God on January, February, March, but when it comes May, June, July, and August, you don't see them. And they're not milking cows or plowing corn. They're just laying out of church a little bit, all right? Have you ever said, oh, I'm going to serve God, and within 2 years, you never see them again? Or they went to this church, that church, this church. They're up and down. I want you to notice something. Little as much of God is in it. Now watch this. God used that little shrub and it flamed consistently. Now notice, it didn't go up and down. Now I've started a lot of brush pile fires. I've started it down in Trinidad and Tobago. We had this grass around our house. It was about 8-9 feet tall and it was the dry season. And spiders were coming out and poison snakes were coming out. So I was going to burn that little bit of them weeds around my house. And I got the gasoline out there and I set it on fire and the wind was blowing the right way. Oh yeah, it blew the right way. It jumped over in the next person's yard and the next person's yard. Sandy get in the car and we got Celine and we drove off. And we went to the other end to see how, and this thing was jumping farm and farm. And I'm down there, and we could see it coming, other cars coming by. They said, what happened? I guess some fool started a fire up the road. It was me, all right? That little fire was burning. 2 hours later, the thing was out, nothing but black ashes across them fields. It eventually went out. This bush, this shrub's fire never went out. It was consistent. Is your flame for Christ, as a preacher sang this morning, this little light of mine, is it consistent? But you know why? Because people are watching. You know, the Muslims taught me this in Trinidad and Tobago. It's better caught than taught. We're going to watch you. If your flame is real, we'll catch that. Number two, about this shrub, let's think about the number two thing. And that is this. Number two, that shrub caught Moses' attention. Look at verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. I tell you what, Mom and Dad, you listen to me. On a bad day, the worst day of your life, if you've got kids that know Christ as their personal Savior, you're better off than 95% of the population of the rest of the United States. If you've got them in church, all right, if you've got them sitting under the preaching of God's Word, if you've got them coming with you. Now notice I didn't say agree with you, because these kids think that we old fogies don't know everything. Amen? But little Selena has found out at the age of 13, Daddy has the bank account. Daddy's got the money. So if I want something from Daddy, I can ask it and he'll just give it to me. Yeah, right. But I say that because, honey, you're not going to get anything unless you understand the value of something. And I'll give you anything that God wants you to have, but I'm gonna give you the right thing. And Moses, as he's going through there and he sees that shrub burning, God was going to call him, but Moses didn't know that yet. But God got his attention. Now you mom and dads and you grandparents, listen to me. God has got given you these children and grandchildren, given you this pastor and this church, that you and they all together can work together to get the attention of a young heart. That's how it worked with me. I had a privilege just yesterday or Saturday or Friday night to see the man that taught me how to do bus ministry, 81 years old. He's had 3 heart attacks and 2 strokes. He's dying. He says, I'm ready to go. I've got about a week. God, let me see him. His son's a pastor and his daughter's married to a pastor's wife in North Carolina. God permitted me to see him. A month ago, the man that led me to the Lord, Jim Beaver, August 15th, 1969, I went to his house in Marietta, Ohio. 80 years old, he answered the door and he said, it's you. He could recognize me after all these years. This church does support me. We stood there and cried and I said, I want to thank you for getting my attention. When I was 17 years old, I thank that old bus captain, Louis Allen, dying in that hospital, St. Anthony's, Michigan City, Indiana. I said, I want to thank you for teaching me how to knock on doors and bring boys and girls to Christ. Man, he got my attention. Louis, by the way, was a convict. Jen Beavers was on his 3rd marriage. Lives were a mess, but they got right with God. And God used him in my life. Hey, listen, number 3, I look at that bush. Not only did God get Moses' attention, I want you to notice the last thing about that bush. God called from that bush. Would you join me, please? God called unto him out of the midst of that bush. Can I tell you today, folks, little as much of God is in it, and that little shrub, it was consistent. That little shrub caught Moses' attention. And the whole thing behind it was God wanted to call him. Use him. He had him ready now to save a nation, to get him across that Red Sea. Isn't that great? All God's people said. Man, would you follow Moses across the Red Sea? You betcha. Because he was stuttering, trying to make excuses of God there in chapter 3. But at the end of the day, he said, okay, if you'll go with me. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That bush, that was a burning shrub. Number 2, let's go to a little more familiar story. Go with me in your Bibles back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We talked about the little shrub. Now, secondly, this morning, we want to talk about a little stone. A little stone. You go with me for time's sake. We'll go to verse 40. As we go to verse 40, I will point out 3 things after we get there. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40, the Bible says this, that he took his staff in his hand and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, which was even in a scrib, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Well, have you ever heard the theologian ask, do you know why Adam or David put 5 stones into the shepherd's bag? I got the answer. And I didn't take Greek. That's all it would hold. Amen. Now you think about it. Well, he has 4 brothers. Well, maybe. Maybe he had 12 brothers. I don't know. That's not the important thing. You know, what was the velocity of the stone as it left the sling in order for him to knock down the wicked Goliath? That's not important. Look at verse 40. Let me show you the important thing. A little shrub. And number 2, a little stone. Goliath had been cursing and swearing and making fun of God's people for 40 days and 40 nights. David's brothers and Saul and Jonathan are all hiding in the bushes and the rocks, hoping he doesn't come their way. No, Goliath said, Fee-fi-fo-fum. That's Indiana language. Fight me or run. If you beat me, we'll be your servants. If I beat your champion, we'll rule you. He had no takers. Here come a little guy driving a couple little old donkeys up the road with a two-wheel cart full of cheese and bottled pop. He don't like water. I don't either. That's why I put Powerade in there. Same clan. Now watch this. David pulls up and here's that guy cussing and swearing. And he said, is there not a cause? Now Saul, and you can check it out if I'm right, and David's brothers have been looking at Goliath and telling us how big he was. And Saul and all the people never mentioned God in the story, and they said Goliath's too big to fight. David, with God on his side, like you teenage boys, he's too big to miss. Chapter 17, verse 30, thy servant will go. Verse 32, thy servant will go. I'll take him on. Man, I've taken on a lion and a bear. Watch this uncircumcised Philistine. He ain't nothing, man. I mean, you should see me hit that lion. Should be. I mean, I got the Spirit of God. And I killed him. And the bear, and I killed him. I'll just go out there and get him. Saul said, well, okay, there's a dumb one in line right there right now. Let him go. Put him out there and take the guy on. We'll see how he fights and we'll take him on later. We'll sacrifice this little teenage boy. And he puts his armor on him and stuff. And David said, nah, I don't need this stuff. It's not what God wants me to have. I think I'll just use my sling. Yeah. Where's your ammunition? I don't have any yet, but it will give me some on the way there. As he's going down through that little valley, he crosses a stream, the stream of Elah. Wow. And he reaches down in that little creek and he picks up how many smooth stones? My mom was the best rock skipper in southeastern Ohio. Y'all know how to skip rocks across the pond? Not when it's frozen. My mom would skip a rock. She could get 13 skips out of that rock. She was good. You know, because she's a little bit bigger and heavier than us. She's got something. You know what she was doing? She'd always choose the right stones. We was dumb 10, 12-year-olds. We choose rocks like that. You ain't going to skip rocks across the pond. She'd get rocks that were flat. But she'd always see on both sides of that rock, there's a real flat side. Then usually there's that cone side. The water ran across that, and this would stay smooth underneath. And she would never throw it like that. She would always throw it this side down. That thing would tick, 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 tick. I'd throw it the other way. Is that not true? You like my sound effects, don't you? Well, David is not skipping rocks. He's got a 9-10 foot giant looking at him. He goes down in that stream and he picks up 5 smooth stones. But he only needed one. Can I do a little study on that stone right now? Number one, the stone was in position to be used. Amen? I don't know how God did it. Don't know when he did it, but that stone rolled right down in that creek where God wanted it. Amen? And that stone was in position to be used by God. The running waters went over it. Running water in the Bible speaks of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Still water in the Bible speaks of the Word of God. So God's been working on that stone. He knows that giant's coming. He knows he's got David's heart. So that stone was in position to be used. Folks, I can't see the future. I can see the right now. I see the now and now. I want you to understand something. God's got you in position to do something great here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Whether you give to missions, whether you drive a bus, whether you teach a Sunday school, whether we said in our song, we sang little as much, when you can't do anything else, you can't do nothing. You can pray. Pray for me if you don't want to pray for anybody else. Amen. Pray for my family. If you don't know what to pray for, just call my name out that I'll do what's right. Get right, stay right, do right, and be right. Amen. You get those rights in order, you're pretty good. And I need all those things, don't you? The stone was number one, in position to be used. Number two, when I see that stone and the water working over those stones, number two, I see the stone was prepared. Prepared. Not only position, but prepared. Reading your Bible, going to classes, learning about God's Word at Sunday school, the preaching tonight and the teaching on Wednesday night. Every chance you get, are you getting prepared to be something for God to win the lost? Amen. Are you being prepared to influence the young generation? Are you being prepared? Are you working on it? How many go to the dentist in here? How many love going to the dentist? It's the laughing gas you're after, aren't you? I hate dentists. You know why? Because dentists will tell you the truth about your teeth. How many of you folks have religiously brushed your teeth every day, three times a day, for the last 60 years? And no cavities. Oh, you have a cavity. Here's what the dentist does to me. I haven't had a cavity maybe for 10 or 12 years, but everyone will say this. Mr. DeLong, can I ask you a question? Oh, here we go. Are you brushing your teeth every day and flossing every day? I've gotten smarter over the years. I say, you know the answer before you ask. And the answer is, no. Aha! So you want your teeth to fall out of your head? No. Do you want to end up with dentures at the age of 31? No. Well, brush your teeth, floss, and eat healthy food. He's always after me. Let me ask this here. Are you preparing for God? Are you preparing in this church? Are you preparing to win somebody to Christ? Are you preparing to go out and reach the lost? Are you preparing your family for the Lord's return? Are you preparing them for the rapture? I am glad I'm saved. Amen. If that, I don't get anything else out of it. The Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Poof. And we that are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together. Now, I'm getting closer to that first group than I am the last group. But if you see all the, and you hear a trumpet sound and you see bodies flying through the air, I'm going right after. Amen? You can have my suit, you can have my car, you can have everything. Because I'm going to be gone. But I've prepared for that. Amen? So are you preparing here at this church? Here's the last thing about the stone. I got to hurry. I look at those stones. That little stone he picked up was powerless until it got into the shepherd's hand. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, what, they comfort me. He's always there, but he's leading me on. I'm the type of guy that I can't retire, and it's not a sin if you do. I can't sit back. I'm one of these guys that's got to be moving. I'm always, God's working on my heart. If someone else would preach today, I'd be there taking notes like a 12-year-old. I want to learn every time. I just tell you, if I can encourage you, that stone was powerless. Every man in the Bible was powerless till the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of their hearts and took them by the hand. Come on, I want you to lead these people across the Red Sea. Come on, Daniel, I want you to do this. Come here, Abraham, I want you to do this. Come here, Paul, I want you to do this. And I've seen every man in the Bible and every woman in the Bible, they're powerless till the Holy Spirit gets them in his hand. And they will let the Holy Spirit use them. Well, here comes Goliath. You know the story, don't you? I like this. Now, I want you to study this on your own. But he lets that old stone go, doesn't he? Now, how many think David was going to miss the forehead of that giant? Never going to happen. Because he's a good shot? No. God's in control. You understand that? God's in control. You do God's will by God's word. Do it in God's way. There always will be a victory. Always be a victory. Amen? It may not happen like you want it, but that old rock stone went through the air and that little stone hit him right there. Is that true? Now, did he fall backwards or did he fall forwards? Forwards. How's that work? Usually when you hit a guy with a fist, or, you know. I just kind of see God standing there. You couldn't see him, but there comes that stone. Bam! Just to make everybody know that you bowed to me and you bowed forward. Just want everybody to know. And when David gets done with it, and everybody's ran for their lives back to their cities, and God gave him a great victory, David said, I did this so that the world may know there is a God. A little stone. God's in that. Stone's in position. It's prepared. He picks it up and knocks him down and cuts his head off. How's that work? God uses little things. God's after little people in here. Not only save a nation and take down giants, but thirdly, God wants to feed His people. Let's go back to John chapter 6. Another familiar portion of Scripture. That's why I love young people. We got any 12-year-old boys here? How old are you? 11. How old are you? 11. You twins? You're 12? 14? You're small as me. What's your name? Are you guys twins? I'm a twin. Stand up and let these people see you. This is what I looked like when I was in the 8th grade. Hey, man. They do look like DeLongs, don't they? What's your last name? Bertram? Bertram. Okay. That's great. Forget you other guys. You're ugly. These guys are cute. Excuse me. They're handsome. They're handsome. Well, Jesus has been preaching. Get back to the sermon. Jesus is preaching. And as he's preaching, let's take a look at chapter 6 and verse 13 of the book of John. And as we look there, the Bible says in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Now, I want all you boys to get your songbooks out. and you're going to be the lad, okay? And you three boys, you're going to be disciples. Now, when I see this story here, I think of many things. And you know, Jesus had been preaching, and you got to tell they were Baptistic because he preached long, and amen, and the people was there, and God had blessed in a great way. When Jesus lifted his eyes in verse 5, and saw a great multitude, and to him he said to Philip, when shall we buy bread that these things may eat, that these people can eat? And Philip and Andrew, being the good Baptist preachers, we ain't got any money. Budget won't work. You know, we can't feed them, you know, and we don't have anything, you know, so it's not going to work, you know. And then here he come. I want you to see this. The little snack. That morning, earlier in the day, instead of preparing to go watch, by the way, I'm still a Chicago Bears fan. The last time I was here, they lost the Super Bowl to the hated, what's the name of that team over here? The Indianapolis Ponies or whatever. So, hello. But I'm a Bears fan, you know that. So, I got so mad when they got beat by Indianapolis. I got up at 3 o'clock in this house and drove all the way to North Carolina because I couldn't sleep because I can't believe that the Bears would give that to them like they did. It was a gift, you know. Wanted to feel better, you know. But anyway, that little boy walked up to Mom that day and said, Mom, I'm going to go hear that Jesus Christ preach today. He's over there on the mountainside preaching. She said, good, I'm glad you're going to go. And she prepared him 5 little biscuits. I had this morning biscuits and gravy for breakfast. But take one of those little small cathead biscuits, and it was a barley biscuit. How many of you folks have ever drank barley in here? That barley green stuff went through the U.S.? Oh, no wonder you like Dennis. But those things are terrible, aren't they? Man, they're terrible. And I drank one glass of barley juice. I'm not a cow or a horse, amen? And so, but he had these barley bread, and they had it crushed and everything, and she baked it, you know, and had little fishes. Now, the fishes were probably finger length things, you know, probably salted and dried and cured, maybe pickled. I don't know what the Jews do with their fish, but they eat it. And so, he had a little snack, and I'll use this. And so, he went with his snack, all right? And he walked up. Boy, the props I have, amen. And so he walked up, and he's kind of standing there, and he hears the preaching, and I think somewhere along the way, maybe before this, the little boy found Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God among us. He trusted him as his personal Savior. In his little dumb, naive, ignorant way, he wasn't counting the people. He just giving God what he had. He just giving what he had. You want this church to do something for God? Just give what you got. Well, you see, I don't have anything. I'm just an old fellow from down on off the old John Deere tractor. No. God will use anybody. In fact, God will use us little people before he'll ever use those big people. God will use you teenage girls, and God will use you teenage boys. You're going to grow up someday, and God wants your heart now. Wow. Well, you know, you see, Brother Long, I'm just not that type. God doesn't care. Gideon wasn't that type. Moses wasn't that type. David wasn't that type. And this little boy standing there, and here's Philip and Andrew, the encouragers. What's that amongst so many? I mean, good night. Thank you, kid. I appreciate your kindness, but go eat your snack somewhere else. We Baptists are known for starving our young and killing our wounded. And that's the truth. Jesus saw that. I'm going to tell you what Jesus is doing here this morning. Look at verse 6. And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knew what he was going to do. He's going to bless. Well, thank you, little lad, for that piece, that sack, that little snack. I appreciate that. Thank you. Now, God, you bless this. All right, disciples, line them up in groups of 50. Put them out there in that grass. Set them down in groups of 50. And there was 5,000 men, and there was women and children. And so they fed them all. Is that true? And they had, when they were done feeding them, come here, lad. You're going to be the lad. Okay, sir. You got to stand there like this. No, just, let me have your thing.
I'll do it for you.
Now, I've heard theologians say, what do the 12 baskets represent? The 12 tribes of Israel? Or did each one of the disciples, and even including Judas, the snake, they got a meal to go on their way. You know, the Bible doesn't really say, does it? It hasn't. Can I use my imagination a little bit, what could might have happened as well as the other stuff? Are you ready? You're one of the disciples. Come here, lad. Our first thing we looked at was the lad. He just gave what he had. The second thing we looked at the Lord. He said, now God, you bless this. Now let's look at the leftovers. You're one of the disciples. Could you bring him a basket up here, please? Give it to him. You hold it like this. Have a seat. That's enough. Don't do too much. Andrew, would you take it there? You're a disciple, Andrew. Peter? Bartholomew? Judas? Come ahead. Count them. Come ahead. Come on.
Who was the big disciple?
How many you got? Nine. He's a skinny disciple. I do have a sense of humor. And you're the ugly one. All right. I'm just teasing. How many we have, preacher? Now listen, lad, because you gave what you could. You know, you're not there yet, neither am I, but in the book of Philippians, Paul's going to write that they don't give because they have a need. They don't give because I don't learn how to abase and I learned how to abound, but this church of Philippi, they've given to me so it would be added to their account. Son, take that home, mama. Tell her thank you and share that with your clan. Could that have happened? That's how it works in a local church. Acts chapter 2 said, and they added to the church. Three chapters later, it says that the church multiplied. Verse chapter 13, we take our first missionary trip. Next couple of chapters, we take the second one. And here we are today. Little as much, if God is in it. I don't have time. I've used the illustrations too long. You can close your Bibles. But I'll take 1 minute, preacher, if that's okay. So I was in Trinidad. I started a church with my wife. We rented a building. We went calling for 9 weeks with two assistants with me from Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, and we're starting a church there. For 9 weeks, we dropped in over 1,000 homes. We had 100 promises. I rented tables and chairs. First Sunday came. Nobody came but one little boy. His grandmother owned a chicken feed store about a half a mile from the church. He's only one. I preached just as hard as I preached here today. I asked, would anybody like to be saved? Do you understand it? Nope, but I want it. Half hour later, that little boy trusted Christ. I took him back to his grandmother. His mom and dad had abandoned him. She ran a chicken feed store, and she was an old African lady. She had that bandana on like Aunt Jemima wears. She said, I'm a Christian, been praying for you. Nobody come today, did they? No, they don't trust you Americans here. But you pray that God will bless. Bless my chicken feed. I didn't know what that meant. Next week, her son showed up with 8 other kids. And the next week, we had 2 or 3 adults and about 25 come. Within a matter of 10 months, we've run over 120 people from that little area. Then we had a revival. Dr. Pat Creed held it. He preached for 3 nights. It brought an invitation. We had 13 adults and 13 teenagers saved. Never forget it. 26. Put a building up about big as this right here, this area. That run a little bit over 100 today. Got their own. Joel's still the pastor there. But when I was leaving, coming back to the States, and handed the church over to Joel, I went by her and said, thank you. And she said, God answers prayer and chicken feed. I said, what does that chicken feed mean? Oh, it's just a little thing. But nobody was going to come to your church unless I started knocking a dollar off of their bags of feed. Now, you got to know there's 3 million chickens always on the island of Trinidad. There's only 2 million people there. But they eat more chicken per capita there than anywhere in the world. The largest and busiest, you can check it out, Kentucky Fried Chicken, as of 2 years ago, was in San Fernando, Trinidad, and Tobago. I mean, they eat their chicken. And she said, I told people if they would send their kids to church, I'd take a dollar off their bag of chicken feed. It wasn't me and my preaching. No, I don't think it was. Then the parents started to ask, and I said, you go, I'll knock $2 off the bag. God will use anything if it's in His will. Do you think it's God's will for you to read His Word?
Yes, sir.
Do you think it's God's will for you to be a witness for Him?
Yes, sir.
Do you think God's in the business of starting independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, local New Testament churches through churches like this?
Yes, sir.
You need to be part of that. Well, you know, I'm just a little as much when God is in it. He says in chapter 1, 1 Timothy, verse 28, He will use the base things, the little things. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. We thank You for the time You've given us to meet here. Lord, I appreciate the opportunity You've given us to preach. And I pray today, Lord, if there's someone in here that's not saved, the Bible clearly and plainly tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Therefore death's passed upon all men. But God commendeth His love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you're unsaved here today, I want you to understand that Jesus wants you to trust Him as your personal Savior. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not slack concerning His promise, that He would have all men come to repentance. If you're not saved in here today, I pray that you'll trust Christ as your Savior. If you are a Christian in here today and part of this church, I pray that God has touched your heart, that if He'll use a shrub and a stone and a snack. He's not after the shrub, He's after the servant, Moses. He's not after that stone, He's after David, just following Him and taking care of that giant. He's not only after that snack, He's after that little boy's heart that gave the snack. That was a blessing to all those thousands of people. Jesus knew what He was doing then with Moses and with David and that little boy. And He knows what He's doing with us now. You say, well, Brother Dan, I need to be in the position to be used by God. I need to have a testimony. I need to be prepared. And I want to be used in a wonderful way. If that be the case, you let the Lord take you by the hand. Because He not only wants to use your snack, He wants to use your heart and your life to be a witness for Him. Father, we pray these things in Your name. Amen.